book on the climate crisis. It bore the cheerful title, The End of Nature. In the decades since, with 20 books and countless essays and articles published, I have chronicled those early warnings as they came true. This moment would seem to be, indeed, it is, the summation and the vindication of all that angst. And yet, right now, really for the first time, I can see a path forward, a path lit by the sun. And it's a path not just out of the climate crisis, it's a path that opens into a very new world. As I type, I've got this book's titular song, George Harrison's gentle and optimistic anthem, pouring through the headphones, blotting out the sound of the rain on the roof. I think that even as we teeter on the brink of renewed fascism, we're also potentially on the edge of one of those rare and enormous transformations in human history, something akin to the moment a few hundred years ago when we learned to burn coal and gas and oil, triggering the Industrial Revolution and hence modernity. But now, quite suddenly, we're learning not to burn those fossil fuels and to rely instead on the large ball of flaming gas that hangs 93 million miles distant in the sky. We're on the verge of realizing that the sun, which already provides us light and warmth and photosynthesis, is also willing to provide us the power we need to run our lives. We are on the verge of turning to the heavens for energy instead of to hell. It won't happen automatically, and I don't know if we will do it, at least in the short window physics is giving us to deal with climate change. In his first hours in office, Trump did all he could think of to steer America and the world away from this bright future. The main headline in the New York Times on his second day was, "Trump wants to unleash energy as long as it's not wind or solar." So no, it won't be easy. But I am convinced it could happen and certain that it should. In a world where almost everything seems to be going wrong, this is the one big thing suddenly going right. I am willing to fight for it, and I hope you will be too. In one sense, this book is very time-bound. Sometime in the early part of the 2020s, we crossed an invisible line where the cost of producing energy from the sun dropped below the cost of fossil fuel. That's not yet common knowledge. We still think of photovoltaic panels and wind turbines as alternative energy, as if they were the whole foods of power. Nice, but pricey. In fact, and more so with each passing month, they are the Costco of energy, inexpensive and available in bulk. We live on an Earth where the cheapest way to produce power is to point a sheet of glass at the sun. The second cheapest is to let the breeze created by the sun's heating turn the blade of a wind turbine. Beginning about the middle of 2023, we entered the really steep part of this growth curve that could redefine our future, crossing another invisible line. This one marking the installation of a gigawatt's worth of solar panels on this planet every day. A gigawatt is about the output of a typical coal-fired power plant or nuclear reactor. By the fall of 2024, that gigawatt was going up every 18 hours. We're still in the early days of this transformation. Right now, only about 15% of the planet's electricity comes from sun and wind, and only about a quarter of the energy we use comes from electricity. But exponential growth changes numbers like that very fast. In 2024, 92.5% of all new electricity bought online around the world came from renewables. In the U.S., the figure was 96%. By April 2025, fossil fuel was producing less than half of American electricity for the first time ever. There's no longer a technical or financial obstacle in the way. We already have the factory capacity, mostly in China, to produce as many solar panels as the climate scientists say we need. In May 2025 came the news that China had used 5% less coal in the first quarter of the year to produce electricity than it had in 2024. Despite a surging economy,